Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And we're in the playbook. For a Thursday on Patriots.com radio, I am John Rook. Hashtag Prediction Thursday is here. Yes, I know it's a bye week. Yes, I know there's no game to predict. So it's very simple today on Prediction Thursday. What I'd really like for you to consider here off the top of the program, and we'll kind of catch up on some things from the first half of the season today. We will also look ahead quite a bit to the second half of the season today. And that's kind of where I'm going with Prediction Thursday. Now, what we'll do, though, is that we really want to try to keep track of everyone's predictions because I'm assuming that we'll have more than one prediction that will be accurate in this regard. And since, you know, I'll probably lose all the rights that I have to giving away prizes if we give away 17 new subscriptions to PFW or we give away 25, you know, Patriots yearbooks. I would love to do that. And obviously, if 25 of you get the score right on any particular week, well, we're already committed to it. Fred's already committed to it. And the powers that be are already committed to it. But I don't know if I can take this leap. So what I'd really like for you to do, today we're going to consider where you feel the Patriots will finish the regular season. In other words, what will the record be in the second half? Let's just make it really easy. I need you to predict the Patriots' second half record. There are 7 games left to play in the season. 7-2 through the first 9, got the bye week this week, 7 regular season games left. What will be the Patriots' second half record? That simple. Now, you can obviously send it Facebook. You can obviously pick up the phone and call. You can send it via Twitter. You can send it via email, whatever you like. However, I will suggest to you, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again today, that sometimes emails have a tendency to get cleaned out after a particular show because if we get a ton of emails, we try to clean out the inbox so we can get on to the next show and the next program and the next program and what have you, because we use the same email inbox, webradio@patriots.com, that the PFW guys use. In fact, we try to keep all of our web radio programming in the same email box, and sometimes that gets cleaned out. The most efficient way for your prediction in this particular instance to have a life of its own and not be killed is to send it via Twitter. It's really simple. Those of you who correctly predict the second half record, we'll throw into a bin, a hat. I'll take all of your names. We'll throw them into a bin. And Kevin and I, at the end of the regular season, we will select the winner, and that winner will win a playbook. Will win a media guide yearbook. Kev, does that sound okay to you? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up on that one. So that way you don't have to send out 25 or so, which I know would be a great pain in your rear end at that point in time. But we, if you have the, in other words, let's say you predict the Patriots will finish 5-2. And I'm guessing that'll probably be a popular prediction. But if you predict 5-2, let me know where you think the losses are, because we'll use that as the tiebreaker. If you go 5-2 and say the losses are Indy and Miami, but the Patriots lose to the Jets and Buffalo, well, then you're going to be on the outside looking in. I'll look for a 5-2 that also predicts the correct losses. Does that make sense? So we'll use the losses as the tiebreaker. And then if we still have multiple ties, well, then we'll throw everybody into a hat and we'll select the winner, and the yearbook winner will be selected from that. So, see, today is still Prediction Thursday. There's no score to predict, but I think you actually have a better chance to win one of the Media Guide yearbooks through this contest today than you would have basically predicting the correct score. Because as we all know, through 9 weeks, nobody's won yet because nobody's been able to accurately predict a Patriots score. That's probably a good thing anyway. Number one, they're scoring lots of points. Number two, you know, they're scoring weird amount of points, not a traditional, like, you know, five touchdowns is 35 points type of thing. There's always a couple of field goals. There's a missed extra point. There's, you know, whatever it may be. So I think you're actually got an easier chance to win today. So if you're listening today, this is your reward. But if you're going to predict a record out of these last seven games, let me know who the two losses are, where the two losses are. If you can do that, then you're in. And like I said, if you want to pick up the phone and call, by all means, 855-PATS-500. Want to talk to you today. If that's the easiest thing for you, pick up the phone and call, and then we'll probably have to go with the honor system in another 8 weeks as to whether or not you actually got it right, which is why we want to be able to track your prediction. And the most accurate way to track it would be either Twitter or Facebook, in all honesty, because unless I personally delete it, and I usually don't, I will keep all my tweets and I keep all the Facebook posts. You want to send the email, that's also fine, too. If you don't follow on Twitter, you don't follow on Facebook, that's fine. I understand. It's a personal preference. No big deal. But then it's just going to be a crapshoot as to whether or not you remember or I remember or anybody remembers what your accurate prediction would be. It's that simple. All right, so there you go. This is how we get it started today. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number, web radio at patriots.com, the email address. You can certainly do it both of those ways. But if you want to be remembered and you really want to cash in, and I have the proof of your accurate prediction, got to follow me on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. That's the Twitter handle, at JR Broadcaster. Or you can follow me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the spelling of the last name. And you can submit the friend request, which somebody has just done. And it's this simple. Click, click, and Tim is now a friend. Hello, Tim. And then you can post, and you can use the chat function during the program. And we have a track record of everything that you're talking about. So there you go. So no stalkers, please. No stalkers. So anyway, that's how we're going to do it. Predict the second half of the season. Where are the losses coming? I'll give you my thoughts in just a couple of moments. I sort of alluded to it at the tail end of PFW just a few minutes ago with Fred, because those of you that will go back to week one will know that when we predicted the entire season, I said 13-3. After the first 4 weeks, I wasn't feeling too comfortable with that selection. But, you know, that was my relative thought for this team. I thought, considering the personnel that we had, we overestimated some of it. We've underestimated others. And now it does seem to be getting back into a predictable form. But it didn't look like it looked like we overestimated a lot of guys back after the first month of the season when September was through. Now it looks a little bit more accurate. Maybe a few different ways of getting there, but we've had some people pick up their play, and Rob Gronkowski looks to be the Gronk of old, and Tom Brady looks to be the Brady of old, and you know, and Vince Wilfork is still, you know, battling hard, and the one injury that we're really missing right now is still, in my estimation, Gerard Mayo. I think we're also missing Chandler Jones, but Jones is supposed to be back, we hope, within the next few weeks. And so they've been able to overcome this. And that is part of what I've said teams in the NFL who have success need to have for them to continue that success. And that is depth. And this is one thing that Denver went out, and we talked about this leading into the Denver game a week ago. Teams that go out and get quality depth and can afford the quality depth within the cap space that they are allowed, these are the teams that are best equipped to compete year in and year out. And the Patriots, I think, while we can certainly make arguments over the fact that they've not chosen correctly at a few, say, key positions on this team, haven't done well in a few key draft positions in some areas, one of the things that the Patriots have done is they've identified largely later-round draft picks and especially free agents that can come in and compete for jobs. And ultimately, when they win jobs, do their job, which is the Patriots' mantra, as many of you are aware. Do your job. And so they've done that. That's, you know, a credit, even though we've taken our fair share of pot shots, and I think rightfully so, and backed it all up with fact, you know, personnel decisions that are made on this team and in this organization, you got to give credit where credit is due. And they have done a very good job of identifying the lower tier guys that you need to have in order to continue to build depth in your organization and continue to be competitive within your division, within your conference, and yes, be a factor in the Super Bowl tournament. It's something that has kept the Patriots relevant since 2001. No need to really change from what's going on. This is where the whole "in Bill we trust" phraseology comes from. And I'm sure many of you subscribe to that. So think about that for a moment, because that's what these guys have done very, very well. And I picked 13-3 based on the preseason hype and hoopla without having a chance to see a lot of this talent play. And now that we've had it half the season, now is generally it takes 8 to 9 weeks, depending on where your bye falls. But it does take about that long to really figure out what kind of a football team you have. And I think we know what kind of a team we have. I think you'll probably see some of the numbers continue to increase, like some of the stats you know, we went through some of the stats this week where the Patriots rank in the rankings as we get the weekly NFL rankings and statistically speaking sent to us by the Patriots PR staff every week. And then Mike Reese from ESPN Boston did a good job of encapsulating some of these statistics as well. So you can check him out as well if you haven't had a look at it. But this team right now is second in the NFL in scoring, in points per game. They were third last year. We expected this team to be able to score the football, provided everybody came back at full strength from last year. And, of course, no one really considered, you know, Stephen Ridley would be gone for the year, you know, with a knee injury. But the Patriots thus far have been able to overcome that injury, I'd say more so than they've been able to overcome Gerard Mayo's. I think that's a fair assessment at the very least. That's really not denigrating the guys who are playing running back now or the guys who are playing linebacker now. What it is that it shows you that the Patriots' passing offense has stepped it up big time and compensated for any lack of running game that there might be where you really don't notice it. Would you like to have him back? You absolutely would. But other guys are picking up the slack. And again, that's part of the mantra around here. Do your job. And they are doing the job. Defensively is where we thought we'd see some improvement. Now, keep in mind, last year defensively, at least in terms of points allowed, they were top 10 defense. They were 10th in the NFL in giving up points last year, right at about 21 points per game. Now, this year, they're actually a point per game worse. They're giving up 22 per game. And that puts them, let me check the chart here, 12th in the NFL in allowing points per game. So they're on pace to do about what they did last year. My thought process is, though, that, you know, I'm not sure that they will, because look at the quarterbacks they're getting ready to face in the next month. You're going to start with Andrew Luck. You're going to follow that up with Matthew Stafford. You're gonna get Aaron Rodgers, and then you're gonna wrap up the month with Rivers in San Diego, Philip Rivers. Those are the next four quarterbacks you're facing. Arguably, you can say those four guys are mentioned at the very least as top five caliber quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, whether or not they are in practicality, clearly I'm not mentioning either Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, and they both belong in this discussion. But still, I mean, I know that you've heard from time to time that Stafford is a top five caliber, quotes around that word caliber quarterback. And he is. He's certainly a top 10 in the league. You're going against, you know, I mean, the Patriots defense is going to have its hands full in the next month, going against these quarterbacks that they will be facing starting next week with Luck in Indianapolis. So I don't think the defensive number gets considerably better. In fact, there's a chance it could get a little bit worse. The difference here, and I want you to consider all of this as you think about your predictions, if you're still contemplating where the Patriots will finish in the second half of the season. The difference here, of course, is the Patriots' offense. They were third in the league in scoring last year. They're second in the league in scoring right now. They've got a chance to overtake. Let me take a look at some of the numbers here real quick. I would say overall, you've got New Orleans that has an offense. Philadelphia has an offense. You got Indianapolis is the highest scoring offense. You got Denver as an offense. So the Colts are actually have scored 9 more points than the Patriots right now. So over 9 games, that's a point per game, which means that the Colts are now they're leading the league, but they're at 32 points per game, where the Patriots are at 31 points per game. They certainly can overtake Indianapolis, but I wouldn't count out Denver in that category. So that's where I think the Patriots could make up some of the difference, is that the offense is likely to be more prolific than last year's was, because the Patriots already are about 4 points per game better than where they were last year and have a chance to do a little bit better than that. A chance. Consider if they continue to click on all cylinders. So you can consider that when it comes to your predictions and you're thinking about where this team is going to finish in the second half of the season. And like I said, I did say 13-3. They're 7-2. So that means I've got them at 6-1. If I hold to my season prediction, I've got the Patriots running 6-1 in the final 7 games. Now, where that loss comes, honestly, if I have to go by the opening week prediction, and you can go back and track this here on Patriots.com and look at one of the very first columns that I did, one of the very first view from above that I did. And I have not gone back and looked at it. So I'm just kind of remembering this off the top of my head, but I'm sure somebody will go back and look at it if you want to look and see where I picked the losses. I believe I had as one of the losses at San Diego. I think I rated San Diego at the beginning of the year a little higher than I had Indianapolis. Now, the Patriots have struggled in the last couple of years coming off of the bye week. We'll talk more about this next week. But at the same time, Indianapolis is going to be a handful next week. And at the same time, I'm not so sure that the San Diego loss that I predicted in the preseason is going to be as difficult an opportunity for the Patriots now as we thought it would be 2 months ago, especially in light of the fact they just got whacked 37-0 last week. So, I'm not sure where the loss is coming. I'll hold my thoughts on that. I'm leaning right now towards sticking with my original prediction and the loss coming in San Diego. Unless the Chargers over the next month, unless the Chargers completely fall out of the running. If they stay within shouting distance of a wild card possibility, and that means they've got to be up and even and hanging in, largely with Kansas City, Denver too for that matter, but largely with Kansas City, because if you look at the AFC West, they are 2 games behind, actually a game and a half behind Denver, and a half a game behind Kansas City. The Chargers are 5-4. So the Chargers can't afford any more screw-ups. If they can stay relatively even with Kansas City, they've got an opportunity. If you ended today and the playoff teams today, you'd have New England, you'd have Cincinnati, you'd have Indy, and you'd have Denver as the division champs. You would have New England and Denver as the top 2 seeds. You'd have then Cincinnati as a 3, Indianapolis as the 4, and then your wild cards would be Pittsburgh and either Buffalo, Miami, or Kansas City. That's pretty good. And then San Diego and Baltimore are only a half game behind that. So you've got a lot of teams that are in the mix right now. If San Diego is still in the mix when the Patriots get ready to play the Chargers, then I'm thinking that's going to be a tough one for the Patriots to win. So I'm leaning right now toward 6-1 with the loss coming at San Diego, and then that sort of wipes the slate clean for the Patriots and gives them Miami at the Jets and Buffalo for the final 3 games that they would sweep out and and hopefully go on and claim the division, claim one of the top two seeds, and then move on into the playoffs as the likely one, if not two, but certainly the likely one at that stage, which means home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but, hey, it's a bye week. We can do this. No one down the hallway is going to do that. In fact, everybody's they're out. They're gone. Four-day weekend. Woo-hoo! Got a break here. Nobody's due back in. Next practice will take place on Monday. That's the scoop. So, hashtag prediction Thursday. Predict the final seven games of the season for the Patriots, and where will the loss or losses come? 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, and the more assured way of having documentation of your prediction, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. And if you are correct with your prediction, that you'll, at the very least, go into a hat, and we'll pick somebody for the yearbook slash media guide at the end of the regular season. Kevin, you'll help me with that, right? Okay. He says, yes, I will. All right, Justin's in Virginia going to lead us off with the playbook today. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, John? You're doing good as usual. But,
thanks, buddy.
As for my record, I go 6-1 with the Packers because I think Aaron Rodgers is as good of a quarterback as anyone in this league.
Yep.
I think his name needs to be put next to Peyton and Brady a lot more,
mm-hmm.
a lot more. But as for the other games, I see Colts, and they are a very good football team. Some things about them worry me. Andrew Luck worries me. But when it comes to their flaws, they have pretty much the same flaws that we had in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line allowed just as many sacks as ours did. I think their defense is kind of suspect, very suspect. I think without Robert Mathis, they're a little bit lacking in the pass rush department, even though they have done better these last few games. I don't really fear them. The reason I fear the Packers, though, is I think Aaron Rodgers is a very resourceful quarterback. And I think him at home is very – I think he has an amazing record at home, too. Amazing.
He does. He does. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, this is, Justin, when you go back and look at it, and I just went back to look at my predictions, I actually had them losing to both Green Bay and San Diego in the second half of the season. So the difference is I had them beating Miami in the season opener. So that's where I have it right now. But I'll take the two. And the reason that I'm saying right now 6-1, and I'm leaning towards 6-1 with the loss at San Diego, is because I just think there'll be a lot of hype. And I think the Patriots will be up to the challenge because of the whole NFC thing. Call it just a sort of a wild stab in the dark. But if I'm going to try to stay true to my original prediction, to me, the most likely L comes in San Diego. But it could easily come at Green Bay as well. No doubt about that.
But part of the thing about Aaron Rodgers that scares me, you remember Geno Smith a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
He's not a good quarterback. He isn't. But when they step up to the plate and they try to play you competitive, you saw how he was running when he wasn't handing it off?
Yeah.
You see how they had that game plan? I think Aaron Rodgers could say, I don't feel a pass rush. I'm going. And I think his judgment with that is a lot better than Geno's is.
Yeah, I'd certainly go along with that. I'll buy that. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
Justin, thanks for the phone call. All right, so he says 6-1 with the loss at Green Bay. What say you? 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, let's get a couple in already here. This one comes from young Pablo, who says on Twitter, 6-1 loss to Green Bay as long as everyone is healthy. Adam on Twitter says 6-1 with loss to Green Bay. I think that'll be the popular choice. Edwin says, my preseason prediction for the Patriots was 12-4. With the final two losses coming at Packers and at Chargers. So he now says 14-2. All right, so that means you think then, Edwin, they're going to go 7-0. So I'll put you down for a 7-0 second half prediction. Yeah, and then he follows it up with, yeah, here it is. Patriots will go 7-0 over the second half to finish 14-2. Glenn says 7-0. As long as Gronk is healthy, we'll get the first seed and a fourth Super Bowl win. Hashtag prediction Thursday. Art says 6-1 with a loss at Green Bay. Very good. Prashant says Patriots may lose to Green Bay and end up with a record of 6-1 in the second half. Our friend Chanel says, since the beginning, I said we'd go 14-2. We've already lost two, so straight on winning from here on out. So she says 7-0 in the second half. Good. Excellent. Excellent. All right, great predictions. Keep them coming. At JR Broadcaster. That's where you find me on Twitter. Give a follow and then throw in your prediction. If you think they're going to lose one in the second half, where will it come from? Who's the loss? We'll use that as the tiebreaker. That'll be the tiebreaker. John.Rook on Facebook. I'll get to some of those. 855-PATS-500 is the email address. Or excuse me, the phone number and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. Kev, let's sneak in a quick break so I can log back in on the email, and we'll get to some of those. But keep the cards and letters coming. It's still hashtag Prediction Thursday right here in the Patriots Playbook.
Me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football, especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. 5 new Facebook friends already picked up in the last 15 minutes. That's pretty cool. Thanks, guys. That's really cool. I appreciate that. That means a lot. So that way you can put down your predictions. We can chat a little football, whether we're on the air or we're off the air, whatever the case may be. That's awesome. All right. So once again, your predictions on the second half of the season. How many wins? How many losses? Where do you think the loss or losses will come from, and then we'll select a winner here on Hashtag Prediction Thursday at the end of the regular season, and you'll win the Patriots yearbook slash media guide, since there's no game to actually predict. And while we continue to get those coming in on all four sources, nobody's picking up the phone yet, so that's fine. Phone lines, by the way, are wide open and available. If you've never picked up the phone and called, great day to do so. So give us a buzz, and we'll chat a little bit. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to bring into the discussion today, I don't know if you heard this at the beginning of the PFW in Progress show today. I had a friend of mine who went out on a limb, and I actually had a Twitter follower who sent the audio link to me earlier today, and I thank you for that. But a friend of mine who I worked with years ago, and this is while I was in Providence for a while, and he was also part-time in Providence, but he also worked part-time in Boston at the time. He's a talk show host on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. And in the aftermath of the Broncos' loss to the Patriots, and we haven't really talked a ton about it here, at least on the Playbook program, since all has been said and done with, but I think it bears at least thinking about getting into a bit of a discussion on today because of the tone of his comments concerning T.J. Ward and, let's just say, his aggression with Rob Gronkowski. Once again, the primary show host here, and you'll hear other voices come in. And
yeah, it's like almost like a montage, it seems.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a discussion overall. But Mike Evans is the talk show host name on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Take a listen.
You are any team playing the Patriots. If you legitimately want a chance to slow down this offense, you better hope he's not in there. You better hope that for whatever reason, he's not able to play because he is that unstoppable. And if you don't think that other teams realize that and realize how much easier their job gets if he's out of the game, then you didn't watch T.J. Ward knee hunting yesterday on that first catch.
Is that dirty, by the way?
Yes, it was dirty. I thought it was dirty. And you saw what he did last year and the effect that it had on the Patriots after Gronkowski went out. Don't think for, you're being naive if you don't think that in his mind he's like, hey, if I take this guy out, like I did last year, it changes everything.
Well, of course.
My point is that Gronkowski catches a pass. T.J. Ward did not at that moment think of himself as simply a safety coming up to make a play. At that point, he's like, I'm going after the knee. And I don't blame him for it. I mean, it makes that big of a difference.
Home field is much more important to the Broncos in the playoffs than it is to the Patriots or any other team you just mentioned.
Really?
Fair?
Patriots? Yeah. You don't think the Patriots, Nate, looked like two completely different teams last year with the one in New England and the one that came out here for the AFC Championship
game? Did the one that came out here have Gronkowski?
No, they weren't fully staffed.
There you go. I'm telling you.
Well, wait, did they have Gronkowski for the game last year in New England?
If you're going to try to talk about a comparison to the AFC Championship game being played in Denver, then I want you to compare apples to apples. And the butt-whooping that happened yesterday afternoon involved Rob Gronkowski and the one in the AFC Championship that the Broncos laid down last year and were able to take care of him 26-16 did not have Rob Gronkowski playing. This game yesterday, because Vic asked the question and then you were moving your yapper so much in the last segment I didn't get to chime in, this game is going to come back to bite him. It was an important game. I think it sucks that they lost, and I think it's the kind of game that you may look back and go, that's where they lost the number one seed.
You brought up a very good point, Nate, that he didn't play in that AFC Championship
You said last week, Mike, he's worth a touchdown.
The numbers reflect he's worth 6 to 8 points a game for that offense, and by him being there.
And the reason I bring that up is because the final score of the AFC Championship game last year was
26-16.
Okay. That's why I say I'm not as quick as you are, Vic, to say play that game in Denver and the Broncos win. I'm not as quick to say that. I think they would. I do believe that they would. But Gronkowski makes that
they
big of a difference.
Him.
They don't
they
know
can't
how
cover
to cover him.
Nobody can.
And that's a great point, because let's not pin this on the Broncos. When he is right,
nobody can deal with
nobody
him.
Can cover him. When he's right.
I don't know what you do there. I tell you what you don't do.
The only thing you hope for? You hope that he gets hurt, and you hope that because of his injury history, and he's had a whole litany of injuries, you hope that at some point he hurts an elbow, he sprains an ankle, he hurts his knee, because that's for all the teams that are playing New England. That's all you can hope for because you're not going to stop them. The only answer is that you hope Gronk gets hurt. Stay classy, Evans. Well, I mean, if you're talking about stopping Gronkowski, is there any other way? If he doesn't get hurt, you can't stop him. And you know what? TJ Ward understands that because TJ Ward had one thought and one thought only early in that game. He turned himself into a heat-seeking missile with the only intent of taking out Gronkowski's knee. He tried to shred his knee for the second year in a row. And if you don't think he was doing anything but that, you're naive. So, you know, the Broncos understand. You take Gronkowski out, changes everything. And other teams will try to do the same thing. That guy will have a bounty on him every single week moving forward.
So there you go. Again, Mike Evans was the primary talk show host on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. I, you know, my initial response to that is, all right, if you don't listen to it carefully, it sounds like he's advocating for other teams and other players besides just T.J. Ward to go after Rob Gronkowski's knee, because that was the surgically repaired knee that he had coming back into this year. It was the knee that T.J. Ward took out last year when Ward was a member of the Cleveland Browns, as we all know, and we all had to kind of suffer through a year ago. I don't really believe that's what Mike was what he was saying. And again, having known Mike for almost 20 years now and having worked with him for a brief time here in New England before he left actually to go to Denver, and he's been out in Denver ever since, probably it's been now 17, 18 years or so ago now. I can tell you that, you know, his thought process, frankly, I don't disagree with. If you realize, again, first of all, you have to understand it from a player's point of view. And I think Devin McCourty has talked about this a little bit. I think even T.J. Ward has been quoted as saying this in the past, that, you know, when you're out on the field, you don't really think about, oh, that's so-and-so. You don't really look at a player as an individual. You don't even look at, like, for instance, here's a good example. Devin McCourty put that hit on Wes Welker this last week in the game, this past Sunday, that hit him right in the back, and it took Welker out of the game, and he never returned to the game. Now, clearly, you know as well as I do that Devin McCourty and Wes Welker were once teammates, and they were friendly with each other. But in this particular instance, McCourty has said it. Other defensive players say this. You know, because other defensive players have friends, former teammates on other teams throughout the league. And anybody who's on defense will tell you, and in fact, I would say that the majority of the guys on offense will probably say the same thing. You don't worry about the individual when you're out on the field. You have to focus on doing your job. You never have really a chance to consider this guy that I'm targeting, his knee is Rob Gronkowski, or this guy who I'm getting ready to put some real damage on his kidneys in the back is Wes Welker, or this guy whose neck I'm about to break is, you know, whomever. Now, I don't know about Jack Tatum and you know, all that stuff that happened years ago with Stanley Morgan, but I got to think that at least initially, players in the violent game do not consider who it is they're about to put a beat down on. Now, what Jack Tatum should have done in the aftermath, obviously, is, you know, visit, see, call, apologize, something, and he never did, and that's why Tatum got the incredibly bad, publicity, and he went down as one of the meanest, dirtiest guys in the history of the NFL, largely because of his non-apologetic attitude toward paralyzing a Patriot receiver. And I can understand why the general consensus would be that. I can also, to an extent, understand why Tatum never apologized. I get it. I don't agree with it. I would not have done the same. But I understand why he probably did what he did, because he is an unapologetic kind of player. I got nothing to be sorry for. I was out there doing my job. And his job, and he was probably told to be a headhunter. T.J. Ward's job, he did last year when he was a member of the Cleveland Browns. His job was to put a hit and bring down Rob Gronkowski. Now, I don't know if his job was to take him out of the game. I don't know if there was a bounty or anything like that, you know, put out on Rob Gronkowski. But when you saw that play by Ward early in the game against Gronk, and he clearly was aiming low, and Gronk wheeled out of harm's way at the last moment, so he did not take a direct blow on his knee this time around. That could have saved him. That could have saved the Patriots' season. That one play right there. The rules in the NFL dictate that defensive players must go low. If they don't go low, if you hit up in the numbers area, you know, chest and above, you're going to get flagged for it. So really, I blame the National Football League in part here for guys aiming low. And I think largely right now, players understand, you know, okay, you can't go high, you got to go low. There's going to be some guys suffer knee injuries because of it. In this particular instance, I agree with Mike Evans. He was aiming low at Gronk, number one, because Gronk is a huge man. T.J. Ward is not near as big as he is, as you're probably aware. He's really a smaller, an undersized safety. And he's trying to chop down a tree. And how do you chop down a tree? At the roots, at the base. And that's all he's simply trying to do. It looks terrible. But we'll never know intent. We just won't know intent. Not unless you can crawl inside Ward's head. I understand why Mike said what he did as well. You know, because, you know, if Ward was told, look, do whatever you can, get Gronk out of there. Whatever you did last year, do it again. Ha ha. They might have, who knows, they might have joked about that. Someone might have said that to him. We don't know. If T.J. Ward thinks like that, all I can tell you is what goes around comes around. In this league and in life, what goes around comes around. You might not get yours now, baby, but you will get yours eventually. And it won't be pretty when your comeuppance comes up, so to speak. I hope for his sake that, you know, there was no intent. You know, if he can live with himself, you know, then that's fine. And like I said, someday he will, you know, he will have to answer for his attitude. But whether or not you think the T.J. Ward attempted tackle or attempted blow on Rob Gronkowski this past Sunday was a dirty play or not, fact is that the rules of the game now have told players that's where they have to go. Gronk knows it as well, which is part of the reason why I thought that may have been even more a remarkable play than his one-handed catch of Brady's pass in the third quarter that led to his catching a touchdown on the next play. And I say that because he caught that ball from Brady early, came down, and if you look at the replay, he literally has a second, maybe less than a second, to spin. And as he spins, he pulls his formerly injured leg around with him, and that's the leg that Ward was headed toward. And he pulls it out of harm's way. There was a blow, but it was a glancing blow, and it didn't hurt Gronk. And it looked like T.J. Ward was targeting air, and that's probably why it looked worse than it really did. So I think for Gronk to have the presence of mind, once he caught that ball, he literally had a second to decide, all right, who's coming at me? How do I get out of the way? I would say in that second time, he did not know that that defender was T.J. Ward. I'd be stunned if he knew that that was Ward. He just saw a body fly at him, and he's spinning out of the way. That's human natural instinct. I don't know how it could be anything else but that. So it's really hard to put intent in there. And as Mike Evans was talking about, you know, he doesn't blame him for wanting to take Gronk out of the game. I don't think he means that in a negative sense. I think he means that, hey, Gronk means at least a touchdown a game to this Patriots offense. I would argue that Gronk may mean more. You might even argue that Gronk might mean more. You know, not only is he already catching, you know, it seems like one, at least one a game from the Patriots, but his presence in the offense gives the other receivers opportunities. And his presence in the Patriot offense takes targets, takes attention away from other receivers that the defense must pay attention to. And this is why, in my opinion, and this goes back to the argument and the discussion we had here on the program 2 days ago, in terms of who's the Patriots' midseason MVP, my vote is for Rob Gronkowski. Because Gronk's presence as a 100% physically fit entity in the Patriots' offense means that the Patriots are this much more dangerous on offense against opposing teams. Granted, Denver went out and improved themselves, I think, immensely over where they were defensively a year ago. They're still not good enough to compete with a healthy Patriots offense. They're just not. And I have all the confidence in the world. It's not a slam dunk, because we all know that, you know, defense, turnovers, kicking game, that's a huge factor, magnified even more so in the playoffs. But if the road to the Super Bowl comes through Foxborough, and it does end up being New England versus Denver in mid-January for the right to go to the Super Bowl, and that game is played in Foxborough, I like the Patriots' chances a lot to win it, only because the Patriots have the confidence factor, and there's many more options for the Broncos to try to defend, and that includes Rob Gronkowski. I'm just not so sure that we can really, you know, get into the minutiae here of intent. But, you know, hey, for the Broncos to win, their intent has to be to get Rob Gronkowski out of there. I really don't have a problem with that. I don't. You know, as mean as it sounds, as cruel as it might be, as dirty as you might think it would be for a player to actually do that, I understand why. You know, all's fair in love, war, and football. Tackle football, all's fair. Largely. Sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you get flagged for it. But you know what? T.J. Ward, I think, is just one of those guys. And I think we said this about Rodney Harrison a number of years ago, gang. T.J. Ward's one of those guys that, you know, if he's not on your team, you hate him. If he's on your team, you love him because he's got that dirty attitude. All right, love to get your thoughts on what they said on Denver Sports Talk Radio about Rob Gronkowski. Whether or not you think T.J. Ward is a dirty player, whether or not you think that play might be a play that we see again from another team before this season is all said and done in this last seven-game stretch. I think there's all kinds of possibilities that we'll see that. Gronk has to know that he's targeted. And Gronk has to know that, you know, hey, to tackle him, to bring him down because he's a big dude, you got to go low. And he's had trouble with the knee. Recently, he's had trouble with the knee. ACL surgery took him right out of the season last year and really knocked the Patriots out as a Super Bowl favorite a year ago. What are your thoughts? 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. Webradio at patriots.com on email. John.Rook on Facebook. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. All right, let me get some Facebook posts in here. We have, you know, our original question of the day, you know, predict the second half of the season as well, and where will the losses come? Via Facebook, Blarco says, John, I agree with you about the fact that NFL rules encourage defenders to go low because of a supposed player safety consideration. But there is a difference between wrapping hands around the lower body and dropping a person to the ground and spearing at someone's knee. Don't know how wrong or right it is, but it bothers me. Well, good point, Blarco, but the fact of the matter is that players who are in the secondary are usually undersized compared to the receivers and the players they're trying to tackle. You know, for instance, T.J. Ward is not as big as even an NFL running back. And if an NFL running back gets in the open, you're still going to see guys go low. Usually NFL receivers and a lot of the premier ones are way bigger, way taller. May not have as much weight, but certainly they're bigger players, quicker, faster, that kind of thing. And still, the only way that you're going to be able to get to them or slow them down is by going low on them. And what I mean by that is, okay, you say wrapping hands around the lower body. That's almost a physiological impossibility. You can't get your hands around someone's lower body. You can't get your hands around someone's upper body because upper body strength is just too much. You see guys break through upper body tackles and arm tackles all the time. Because the upper body is just too big, too powerful. So your option is to go low on someone. You try to wrap your hands around the lower body. And a lot of times, guys simply step through arm tackles. What the NFL has done is they have eliminated arm tackles. It just, you can't arm tackle anybody. Nobody has the guns. No player has the big old biceps or the triceps. Nobody has the arms strong enough to bring NFL caliber players down. And the NFL has legislated that. That's the rules. Those are the rules of the game. Arm tackles are useless. If you are a defensive back trying to bring down a player, especially in the open field, arm tackles are useless. The only chance you have is to go low at someone and try to trip them up, stagger them, and hope that you have help from the safety over the top, you know, if you're a cornerback. And if you're a safety, well, then, you know, at least in theory, you're supposed to be a bigger, stronger, perhaps more physical player than a cornerback. It's not all the time the case. Brandon Browner would be certainly, I think, an exception to that rule. But, you know, if you're a safety and you're putting a first hit on somebody, the ideal place to get them is at the waist. There, you can get an arm tackle. But if a player is coming at you at an angle where the waist isn't shown, generally speaking, you're not going to be able to get your arms at him. If he's crouched down to the point and he's chugging his legs and he's, you know, getting up a good head of steam on you, you're not going to be able to even get a waist tackle on the guy. But a waist tackle is really the only place where an NFL caliber player, really where any kind of a caliber player, whether it's college football or pro football, it's really the only place where you can get an arm tackle on anybody, and that's around the waist. You can kind of get them because you got them 50% up, 50% down. You got to get them around the waist. You can sling them to the ground. It's rare that you see anybody get slung to the ground unless you originally get them by the waist or they're slowed down enough where you can grab them, say, you know, by the jersey and throw them down, and then you're risking a horse collar call. That's just the way that the rules have legislated defenders right now. Hard to do. Hard to do. So the only thing left to do is you go low, you try to stagger them, you know, you try, you know, I mean, I'm not thinking, if I'm a defender, I'm not thinking I got to take this guy out, I got to blow his knee out. Nobody thinks that. I really can't, I'm not going to buy that. I don't think there are too many, quote-unquote, dirty players in the league who go into a game thinking, I'm taking so-and-so out today, I'm getting his knee. I just don't think you have enough time to think that. You got to worry about your own rear end. You got to worry about getting burnt yourself. You got to worry about getting hurt yourself. You can't go into this game. If these guys are worried about getting hurt, they're not playing. Nobody's worried about getting hurt here. Gronk, Ward, anybody. No one is worried about getting hurt. The NFL is legislating this, without a doubt. Tim says on Facebook, he says, I think Ward was going for the knees in general, but like you said, it's the NFL. If Ward goes high, he either doesn't make the tackle and Gronk scores, much like he did anyway, or he gets flagged and becomes the new Merriweather, costing him money. The NFL needs to figure out a way to make this balance without making it a powder puff league. They are concerned with concussions now, but what about wheelchairs in the future? Because the players don't have knees anymore. Good point, Tim. Very good point. You look, bottom line here is football is a ravenous, dangerous, explosive, concussive sport. I think the football life story on NFL Network on Earl Campbell is coming up tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw the promo for that on NFL Network. I can't wait for it. Earl was one of my heroes. He's a little older than I am. In fact, he is 3 years older than I am exactly because he was a senior at Texas when I was a freshman at University of Texas. So I was there when he won his Heisman Trophy back in 1977. And Earl and I later met. We've become friendly. You know, it's been a number of years since I've had a chance to speak to him. He's become a successful businessman, but he is crippled. And I think if you haven't seen what has happened in the aftermath, Earl Campbell, and he spent just, you know, 9 years in the NFL, people. Nine. He looks like he's 75 or 80 years old. He hadn't hit 60 yet, I don't think. And what happened to him is a byproduct of what the NFL is and what the NFL does. And now you're hearing about all of these, you know, concussive studies. where, you know, guys who have committed suicide are having their brain sliced open and they're discovering that they have the, you know, the disease that comes with having played football. And it's just, it's remarkable. This is going to change the face of our sport at some point in time. I don't know how quickly it'll happen. Already helmets are changing. I think they will continue to progress with technology catching up to the sport, but I'm not sure that we'll ever see football as violent as we see football right now. Because guys are going to, you're going to see careers be cut more short than they are already. And then guys are going to see guys like Earl Campbell and the likes who, you know, didn't really play all that long ago. I mean, he played through the 80s. So it's really only 20-plus years ago. And your guys are going to see what can happen to them if they go through concussions. I'm an advocate right now of Wes Welker saying, thank you, I'm out. If you care about Wes Welker as a person, I think he should retire tomorrow. He's already wearing one of those oversized helmets, you know, to protect his head, his melon, a little bit more. I don't think it's doing him any good. You know, football is just, it's just gotten too big, strong, fast, violent. As it has evolved, like humankind has evolved over the years, I'm just not sure how many more years we put up with this. Maybe not in our lifetime, yours or mine, maybe not in our lifetime. But I could certainly see 50 years down the line, National Football League not in existence. Because somebody's going to get sued. Somebody's going to win a boatload of cash. And somebody's going to say, that's enough, I'm out. And it's going to happen over and over and over again. And it's just, I can see it. I can see it. Like I said, may not happen in my lifetime, may not happen in yours, but say 50 or 60 years from now, I could see that happening. By the way, Tim says in his prediction, he says 5-2 for the second half, lost to Green Bay and Indy. Thank you, Tim. Paul says on Facebook, hope all is well. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Paul! I've been listening to your show for a few years now. I'm a diehard Patriots fan. Hope you have a great weekend. I'm a first-time emailer. Or Facebook poster. I'm a Bears fan because I grew up in Illinois, but I've been a Patriot fan since 01. My girlfriend and I will be together 6 months next Wednesday. I couldn't be happier. Have a great day, and go Patriots, and the Jets suck. Thank you, Paul. Spoken like a true Patriot fan. Bill from Steventown. I did call two interceptions for Denver, and you did get that. Says, I'm looking at the second half. I'm going to total 14-2 overall, so no losses. 7-0, says Bill from Steventown. Chris says, my second half prediction is the Pats finish 6-1 with a loss to the Jets. If that really happens, I think we can win out. And the Colts game, Pats win 38-24. Well, I'll let you make that prediction next week, Chris. But he says 6-1 with a loss to the Jets. Wow. I don't know. Maybe a more accurate prediction would be, will Rex Ryan still be the head coach the next time the Patriots play the Jets? I mean, they didn't even when they stunk so bad in 96 under Rich Kotite, they didn't lose 9 in a row that year. And they could lose their 9th game in a row if they lose this weekend. Wow. Ben says, 5-2. Honestly, I think we can go 7-0, but I want to leave room for error. Okay. Understood. Yep, understood. That you're leaving quite a bit of room for error there. Sean says on Facebook's Pat's second half prediction, 6-1, loss in Green Bay. Okay, that works. Onique picks this up on Facebook as well. He says, John, I agree that the current NFL rules for defensive back have them having no other choice to go low on a player. That hit by Ward worried me at first glance when he hit Gronk, and I was glad to see that Gronk had the presence to spin out last minute. More like last second. Like you said, that was almost as good as a play as his Gronk catch. I actually think it was better, but the Gronk catch is going to get more run because of what it meant. But frankly, I think the Gronk spin out of Ward's hit might have saved the season certainly more than Gronk's catch did, the one-handed grab in the second half. My prediction for the rest of the season, realistically, is 6-1 with a loss at the Packers. Hopefully I'm wrong, but that loss would be less devastating than a loss to one of the top contenders in the AFC. All right, that's good, Monique. Thank you. Let's see. Who else? Did I get everybody here? Alan says, John, my prediction is this, 7-0. In fact, take it further. We finished the year 17-2. That's right. World champs, baby. Our next loss will come in October 2015. Now, see, Alan, you've taken it too far there. Because you got to remember, the Patriots don't get beat in the month of October. Right? So you got to at least go to November of 15 before another loss, right? He says, we break our record for consecutive wins. What do I win if I get that right? How about, Alan, you get that right, you get to come on for an hour and co-host the show. Is that good? If you have that kind of prognostication ability, you can come on and co-host the show. Works for me. Works for me. All right. Do we still have? Yes, we do. Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How goes it today?
Ah, man, a typical Thursday for me, tuning in to the playbook. Man, as far as the injuries in football, man, I mean, just like you said, John, it's a violent game, man. It is a very violent game. I mean, so it's kind of hard to say how, I mean, it's kind of hard to set the rules in football, man. I mean, no, it really is, John. I mean, because, I mean, you have to have some type of contact in the sport, regardless of, you know, that how much they try to change it. I mean, man, guys are going to get hurt, man.
Right.
Guys are going to get hurt. So, I mean, you know, and as far as Gronk, I mean, he is the biggest receiving target, the most dominant receiving target in football
mm-hmm.
right now. So, I mean, good luck if somebody trying to hit him high.
Well, that's true, and that's and I think that's part of the problem here, because you know if you hit high, you're going to get steamrolled, and so there's really no other choice for a defender to do than to go low on him. So you've really I mean, that's the only shot that a guy like Ward or anybody else has on Gronk, and you've got to go low. You got to chop him down like a tree.
To be honest, John, even if you try to go low, who's there to say you're going to get low enough? I mean, coming that stuff, man, Gronk has huge thighs, man.
I know.
I mean, so it says, I mean, like I said, man, you know, it's going to be tough to, it's tough to defend that guy, man. It's tough to defend him. I mean, so, you know, I don't know what Warren's intention was. I don't know if he meant to hurt Gronk. I mean, but I said, I know that he was trying to make the tackle.
Sure.
First and foremost. Now, I can't, you know, it's hard to process where you going to hit a guy at. And, you know, in the middle of a play. I mean, it's hard to process it, John, and it's hard to.
No question, Trey. In fact, Lee Schechter on ESPN Boston quoted Darrelle Revis as asking him, you know, how would you defend Gronk? And he said here, I wouldn't blame them for panicking. The guy's 6'7". He can run. He's explosive. Yep. I mean, you put him in the category of a Tony Gonzalez. They just have big bodies, hard to get around them.
Yep.
Sometimes if you might break, you might not know where the ball is going to be at. His wingspan, he'll just stick his hand out in the air. There's so many variables. It's hard to cover a big receiver tight end like that. Spread him out. He makes plays. It's that simple. And then Revis also said, he said, I feel sorry for them, talking about guys who have to defend Gronk. I feel sorry for them.
Too.
I really do, because Gronk is very tough to cover. I feel sorry.
I do, John. I mean, but, you know, to just move on from that, I mean, hey, man, a football is football. Second half of the season, John.
Yep.
You know, the first half of the season, a lot of people had a lot of complaints about the football team, you know, like different guys on the team. Hey, guys, hey, news alert. Hey, these are the guys we're stuck with. Okay, the guys that we have now on the roster, hey, these are the guys that we're banking on to get us to Arizona, man, to get us our fourth championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of people talking about bringing in another running back. Man, if there's a running back that's sitting at home now, he's sitting at home for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, we just got to roll with the guys that we have. And I really think if the defense play like they played this past week, if the offense and the team continue to progress, man, and come together as a unit, I mean, I could easily see us, man, going all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, there may be a hiccup somewhere. I don't know. We might have a loss. I don't know where it's going to come from, John. I mean, it's just hard to say. I don't know.
Well, all right. So what's your prediction then?
My prediction, man, is we finished the regular season at 14-2, John.
So
14-2.
So you are in the
hopefully we get
You're in the 7-0 camp.
I'm in the 7-0 camp. I'm kind of, I'm scratching my head about the 7-0. I mean, maybe 6-1, but I got to roll with 7-0, John. And hopefully, you know, we get home field advantage. And if we don't, hey man, we just got to mount up. Lined up, man, and wherever we got to go, man, no, just hit some guys in the mouth. All right, John, I'll talk to you on Tuesday, man.
All right, Trey. Thanks so much. Trey says 7-0. What do you say? 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. Getting some emails here, so we'll get to those coming up in just a moment. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. A couple of extra tweets have come in here. Joel says, Patriots will finish the season perfectly, 7-0. So another vote for 7-0, with Gronk coming close to breaking the TD receiving record at 20. Let's see what else we have. Edwin says, speaking about the Gronk and facing Denver, how much stock do you put in it's harder to face a team a second time around? Well, I think that's actually a pretty good question, Edwin. I actually think that it's certainly harder for both sides. The second time around, I think it's even harder sometimes, really, for the team who won the first time to come the second time around, because there's the human element of overconfidence. Now, it's hard to say that the Patriots would ever be overconfident in facing a team of Denver's caliber again, and I really don't think that would happen. But I think it's human nature to think that if you've beaten somebody, and especially if you've beaten somebody by 22 points like the Patriots did, I think human nature is that, you know, well, you know, we did it one time, we can do it again. And I really, really believe that you kind of feel that way yourself about a lot of things in life, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, think about it for a moment. If you, you know, have a success at work, you're going to think, you know, all right, I can do that again if the opportunity comes up again. Sure, it's just human nature. You're not going to automatically think of the pitfalls. You're not going to automatically start, you know, devising a game plan. The first thing you're going to go back to is, all right, what worked before? Simple. And so I think it's harder sometimes if you win and you win going away the first time to try to figure out a way to do it a second time. I think there's an advantage, a slight, but an advantage for the team that lost. A, they've got motivation on their side. B, they know where they screwed up. So C, they can game plan for that a lot easier. I'm just using a little logic here. Wonder if that makes sense to you. Glenn says the intent is clear. Talking about T.J. Ward. Last year he tackled with the shoulder. This time he aimed with the crown of his helmet on a knee, not legs. Well, okay, Glenn, if you want to interpret it that way, I think that's fine. I would argue that, you know, while he did go low, I'm not so sure that he was targeting with the helmet, because it did look like he was leading with his right shoulder. It's the way that Gronk spun out of the way, which I thought was purely remarkable, that made it look like, you know, he was kind of like a missile without a target. Again, it's an interpretation. So I don't think intent is clear at all. But, you know, because for intent, for him to say he is hurting him, then you'd have to ask T.J. Ward. He hasn't said that. Chanel says, I love Gronk, but I don't think Ward was being dirty. He was playing by the rules. Fans are just upset because of the history. Chanel, I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on. I'm going to agree with you, Chanel, 110%. I don't think Ward was being dirty either. He was playing by the rules. Fans are upset because of the history. Totally. Totally. Because he took him out at the knee last year when he was a member of the Cleveland Browns. So, just my thoughts anyway. Cody says, that's just terrible. Protect Gronk. Broncos got Ward to take out Gronk. Well, I don't know that they picked him up in the offseason to specifically take up Rob Gronkowski, because if they did, well, then that was pretty stupid then, wasn't it? Because he didn't do his job. He didn't do his job at all. On the Broncos radio show comments, says Chad, I would find it flattering if I were Gronk. Totally. Totally. I totally agree with you, Chad. 110%. That's more than 100%, by the way. 110%. I agree with you. If I'm Gronk, I'm very flattered by that. I'm not really alarmed. I know that people are going to target. Hey, everybody knows that I had a knee injury. Everybody knows that I might be one hit away from being on the sidelines again. It's just that way. I think it's that way with anybody that gets in an open field in the NFL. You're one hit away from being on the sidelines. So I really don't see that as being any different than anything else. As Chanel said, I think people are kind of reacting to the fact that it was Ward who took him out a year ago against Cleveland. That's all. Jose says this is going to be a tough one, but New England's going to be 5-2. They're going to lose against San Diego and the Jets. I don't know why I'm feeling that. Okay, but you're in for 5-2. San Diego and the Jets has the two losses. Our boy in San Diego, I think that's who this is, got a good feeling it's going to be 7-0, 14-2, so long as everyone stays healthy. We have a Gronk. Yes, you do. And we all do, right? Let's see, what else here? Adam, 6-1 with the loss to Green Bay. Thank you, Adam. And I think I got everybody else in here, at least that has fed so far on Twitter. All right. Good enough. A couple of other Facebook posts have, let's see, do we have those again? Hold on, let me see. Have that. Am I caught up here? I think I'm caught up. All right, let's take another quick break here. I got to come back with a couple of other things that I want to talk about today. But keep your predictions coming for the second half of the season. How do you think the season will play out? 7-0, 6-1, 5-2, worse than that? Those are the three that we've seen. Anybody think 4-3? The way that this season is going? I mean, because frankly, I think maybe about as recently as 2 or 3 weeks ago, you'd have taken 4-3. The last two games, running up the points that they have against Chicago and Denver, I'm sure has skewed the entire year. Think about that for a second. Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, and John.Rook on Facebook. Predictions still right here in the playbook coming up.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too.
Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Kevin knows what my favorite episode is from years gone by, right, Kevin? Do you actually know which one it is? You probably have a clip.
Is it the sucky one or no?
I believe the sucky reference was to, I believe, Pittsburgh. I think we were talking Pittsburgh Steelers for whatever.
I'm actually quite partial to this clip right here.
All right.
I like masculine guys. Brady is too girly for me. I would destroy him in every sense.
I forgot what the context was of that one. You better be careful. I'm going to start spreading nasty rumors. Was that with Eric?
That was with Eric, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was reading an email. That much I do know. I was reading an email, and someone was talking about how, you know, for some reason or they were disagreeing with, I think we were talking in reference, now that I'm trying to kind of think back on it, that was in reference to Brady appearing in one of those UGG ads. I believe it was. This is probably like within the last 3 or 4 years. That's all. That's all that was. No, you know what my favorite one was. It's when I called out our good friend. I think you probably understand that one. And I'm sure you have that clip.
The strippers one?
Yeah. You have that clip, right? Of course you do. I think that's my favorite one. Yep, here it comes.
Stripper send you that? He's an a-
He's a penis.
Brian Morey, how many times did he use that word yesterday?
Yeah, I kind of got a little worried about our good friend Brian Morey getting a little excited over there.
No kidding.
Is that a roll of quarters in your pocket, or are you just happy to be on the show?
Wow, God. Okay, I don't need that image. Thank you. Wow. All right, we've been talking predictions for the most part here today and still want your predictions to come through here, web radio at patriots.com. Got some time left for phone calls at 855-PATS-500. They've been pouring in on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster and John.Rook on Facebook. But in lines of predictions, and I'm going to get to the emails here in just a moment, keeping in line with predictions, you know, I think about, when was it? This was actually right out a week ago, wasn't it? Bill Belichick just trashed the local meteorologists around these parts. And some of them, those of you who live here in the greater Boston area, know we've got some guys that have been doing the job and doing it at a pretty high level for a number of years. And everybody has their favorite local meteorologist in Boston and in New England. You know, a good friend of mine, you know, worked in Providence for better than 40 years, John Giorsi. You know, and so and very well respected in the industry. But Coach Belichick just slammed them, body slammed them, took a shot at their knees, whatever you want to call it. But he did that last week when talking about the weather and being a potential factor for the Bronco game last Sunday. Well, just in case you missed it, the folks at the Weather Channel had some fun at Bill Belichick's expense. This has made the rounds, I think, on a couple of local shows here where you may be. I'm not sure you've had a chance to see this or hear it, but at least in this particular venue, you can hear it. So this is from the Weather Channel, keeping up, sticking up for their own in light of Bill Belichick's come down, beat down on local weather meteorology.
Well, New England's Patriots coach Bill Belichick, usually a man of few words, but Friday he had plenty to say. They took a shot at meteorologists.
When you play in New England, you got to be ready for everything. I'd say, based on the forecast we've gotten so far this year, you know, none of them been even very close to what the game conditions were. I mean, my experience of going with the forecast in this area 2 days before the game, I mean, I'd bet a lot that they're wrong, just based on history, because they're almost always wrong. If I did my job the way they do theirs, I mean, I'd be here about a week.
Oh, Coach! Them's fighting words. All right, so let's break down the facts. This past Friday, we used the Weather Channel's two-day, hour-by-hour forecast for each Sunday game. Then after each game, we compared the kickoff temperature that we forecasted versus the actual temperature, and check out the results, okay? Browns, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs. Our degree of difference here, not much. In fact, some of our forecasts, we were right on. 1 degree difference for the Bengals, right on with the Dolphins. 2 degree difference for the Vikings game. San Francisco at home, we hit it right on. Check out this. Patriots, Seahawks, Steelers, all at home. Margin of errors, pretty darn slim here. So let's break it down for you here, Coach. Yeah. On average, an error of just 1.4 degrees 2 days in advance at an exact hour. That's pretty good. We had three perfect temperature forecasts, by the way, and a forecast within 1 degree on 8 different games. We also predicted 10 out of 11 games would be dry, and they were. We predicted the high winds accurately for Jets and Chiefs. We even predicted the Patriots would beat the Broncos. Your Patriots would beat the Broncos because of the weather. We say that's pretty darn accurate 2 days in advance. So, Coach, we say just maybe you watch us here at the Weather Channel. Maybe weather.com. Oh, by the way, tens of millions of people use our app every single day. They can't be wrong, right? And I know, Coach, you really love the hoodie, but might we suggest a very stylish Weather Channel fleece on the sidelines?
Ouch! Tens of millions use our Weather Channel app around the world. Woo-hoo! Okay, Coach, so there you go. The Weather Channel guys took great umbrage with
so
you.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was largely referring to the local meteorologist, but he kind of threw weathermen in general under the bus with his comments, as you heard. And
then that's when they smoke it.
Yeah, and that's when the Weather Channel guys had some fun at Coach Belichick's expense. So, you know, hey, when it comes to predictions, nothing.
It was all good fun.
Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was. It wasn't good fun. Clearly you could tell that there was a lot of jocularity in the background at the Weather Channel when the meteorologist on the air at the time did this particular bit. But at the same time, you know, I actually believe when Coach said that last week, last Friday, talking about the Denver game in particular. I actually think he was doing it tongue in cheek. Really, he was. That was his effort at humor. I mean, he's so dry. Nobody knows when Coach Belichick is having fun at someone else's expense. We just don't know. I think that was it. So now you have a record of it. Bill Belichick has a sense of humor. Written 11/6/2014. There you go. Basically, or actually, the comment that he originally made against Weatherman was on Halloween. So 10/31/2014. Bill Belichick has a sense of humor. Mark it down. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. And, you know, our predictions are clearly not exactly accurate at all times. This is some of the fun that the weather people at the Weather Channel had at Bill Belichick's expense, talking about predicting the weather. And by the way, the weather for the game, I think, as we all know, didn't quite turn out the way that the meteorologist originally had intended for it to. We had way more of the solid type of precipitation than we thought we were going to get. Now, they were accurate once it started. They did say that it would clear out by game time on Sunday, and it did. So I think, you know, the meteorologist batted 500 by my estimation. And last I saw, 500 would definitely get you in baseball's Hall of Fame if that's your career batting average. So at any rate, there you go, for what it's worth. All right, to the emails now on the predictions for the second half of the season. And Glenn in Ottawa, Ontario says, John, they go 7-0, baby. If I win, would you sign the book? That'll only devalue the worth, I think, overall. But, yeah, we can arrange that. If they go 7-0, and we've had several 7-0 predictions, Glenn, so we'd have to put all the names in a hat. And if that happens, then, yeah, you can absolutely get it autographed. Gosh. Like I said, that'll cheapen it. John in New Brunswick, Canada. John, my prediction 6-1. I predict they lose to the Chargers. I know the Chargers stink, but I predict we'll win the next three, and we go to San Diego acting a little bit like cocky tourists. This will slap us back to reality, bring us back to a 3-win streak over the Christmas season. John, that's exactly what I think. I'm also saying 6-1 with a loss at San Diego. And it could happen at Green Bay, but I'll stick with my original premise, and I will say, you know, that the Patriots will make up something somewhere else. They'll get a win over Green Bay because there'll be a lot of focus on it, a lot of attention. Be a big game, maybe as big as the hype will be, maybe as big as the Denver game, because Green Bay is one of the contenders in the NFC, and the Patriots certainly now a contender in the AFC. And so I think that television will build this up as a potential Super Bowl preview. They will. You know it. I know it. We all know it. It's going to happen. And it's just a few weeks away. 3 weeks away. So because of that, I think the Patriots will rise to the occasion. I'll stick with 6-1 in San Diego. Arlene in Ormond Beach, Florida says, all right, here we go. 6 wins, 1 loss to the Green Bay Packers. I have some doubts about winning against the Colts, but we'll go with the Pats that week. Thank you, Arlene. John says, John, I predict 5-2 for the remaining games this season. Losses are to the Colts and the Packers. Thank you. Hey, Kev, can we, anything that we can do with these predictions, can you save them in one of your, like folders or something? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That way we have a record of it, because I have a feeling that someone's going to get their feelings hurt if we miss somebody and a prediction. So those that are emailing into the box, once we're done with the show today, save these into a folder, and then we'll look back at them once the season is over. Howard, Stratford, Connecticut. He's going to go 5-2. He says losses at Indy and at San Diego. Not sure how they come out of the bye, i.e. rusty, going on the road against a team that is very dynamic. I think they only lose two more, and they'll go 12-4 overall. All right, Howard, thank you. Gabe says, all right, John, call me a homer, but I really see these guys going 7-0 down the stretch. The only hiccup, if any, might be either the Lions because of their D or Miami. But then I thought that our D would make up for any struggles we might have with the Lions because Stafford is inconsistent, and Miami is here in December. So really, if our players can stay healthy, who's to say we can't run the table? So Gabe says, 7-0, baby. I will try and copy this over to Facebook. No, that's fine. We'll see if we can save it here. But thank you, Gabe. So he says 7-0. Drew and Bowie, who was one of our Game Show Wednesday contestants, ended up being a co-winner with Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Drew says, John, knowing full well that this prediction will get chucked, I predict 6-1 down the stretch with a loss at Green Bay. We win the division. We're the highest scoring team in the league. Unfortunately, this will make us a 2 seed and facing a rematch in Denver. With a healthy Gronk, better corners, and Big Vince, knock on wood, we'll sweep the series. Then we avenge the loss to Green Bay. Okay, that's actually a pretty good prediction. It says, by the way, the 438 passing yards against Denver aren't as bad as it would seem. The yardage came on 60 dropbacks, not 40. Punt return and 2 turnovers took about 20 plays off the board for the Patriots and gave them to the Broncos. That's also true. So with 40 dropbacks, Peyton is probably well under 300 yards and under 60% completions. Those are numbers I could live with. And I think, Drew, and I'm glad you pointed that out. That's actually very good analysis by you. Much better than you did with Game Show Wednesday, by the way. But I'm sure that's like reasoning that the Patriots coaching staff has as well. With 40 dropbacks, he's under or right at 300 yards at best, and under 60% completions. And, yep, those are numbers that any, I think, defensive coordinator can probably live with. So that's good stuff right there, Drew. Gabe says, John, just to follow up, yeah, T.J. Ward needs to be fined for that attempted hit. He led with his helmet at Gronk's knee, didn't even try to wrap up or tackle. Tape needs to go to Roger and divvy out a fine and suspension. He was and is dirty. Fair enough. Again, I feel like this is going to be just a point of contention with some, and others are going to interpret it differently. The proof will be in the pudding. If he gets a fine, well, then I think we'll understand what the league feels. But he really didn't even hit him. There was a glancing blow, and he didn't make the tackle. So I'm not sure how he gets a fine here, even though you think he may deserve it. I just don't know how you can really judge intent. Tim says, I think Ward was going for the knees in general, but like you said, it's the NFL. If Ward goes high, he either doesn't make the tackle and Gronk scores, much like he did anyway, or he gets flagged and becomes the new Merriweather, costing him money. The NFL needs to figure out a way to make this balance without making it a powder puff league. I think I read that one earlier. Mike says, John, I think TJ is a little bleep. I watched the replay over and over, and he did go after Gronk's knee again. He purposely lunged at his body, tried to take out his knee. Be a man. This is football. Hit him up top. Hang on for dear life and hope help comes. He's a freak of nature, I think he meant. Deal with it. I hope somebody breaks both of his knees. Okay, Michael. Thank you. Michael also got a little more graphic, but I cleaned it up for you there. Thank you. Somebody was a little angry. Jeff in California. John, I think you're correct that the rule leads players toward going low, similar to what Ward did. I personally saw Ward go low on multiple occasions when going for Gronk, and I think it was with intent based on this. I hate to see players get hurt, but some are just dirty, like Ward, Pollard, Harrison, Suggs, etc. I do think teams will target Gronk at the knee, and much as I hate to say it, but if a team's player does hit Gronk's knee in a questionable way from here on out, I think we start going for their QB's knee and in their own offense for the season. I hope that that does not happen. I hope that never resorts to retaliatory strikes, so to speak. I mean, how is that going to help things? I don't know about that. That bothers me. I hope that we don't get to that. Here's Steve and Killeen. Steve, you're in the playbook. How are you today?
I'm doing well, John. Doing well.
Thanks, Steve.
I love the Weather Channel guys, but let's look at the record. They're at 500. BB is still at about 66% for the win.
Mm-hmm.
Advantage Bill.
yeah, totally right. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. That's definitely an advantage. So if there's nowhere else to go, yeah, you're right.
On the prediction, John, I'm going to go 7-0, not just to be a homer, but looking at the Jones factor that other people have seemed to leave out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think our defense is going to get a slight upgrade with his return. And, you know, those last few games at the end of the season, I think we're going to handle well. My concern, you know, obviously are the Colts coming up and of course, Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respect all our upcoming opponents, but I don't fear any of them at this point, just based on how the Patriots have risen to the occasion to this point. So,
well, respect is always a good thing to have. Fear is really never a good thing to have. But I think in this regard, you probably need to have a mix of the two. And by fear, I mean, I think that is realizing that anybody can beat you. And that includes the Jets, who may be 1-12 by the time, you know, the Patriots get to them. But it doesn't mean the Jets can't win a game. And if they do win that game, heck, that might, you know, make their season. So that will be the playoffs, by the way, for them.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is the NFL, you know, as the saying goes, any given Sunday.
Very, very true. And very, very true. So I think a healthy dose of respect bordering on fear is probably good in the Patriots' instance.
Absolutely. And I sent an email on with regards to Gronk. I mean, in my case, I'm giving up about 7 inches and a good 40 pounds. And having played DB, you know, not at the NFL level by any imagination, but physics is what the issue is. You know, the only shot I'd have at Gronk is coming 40 yards out and trying to be a bullet that would just, and if I could in the old days, I'd put my helmet right in the middle of his chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you say that, but at the same time, if you try to put your helmet right in the middle of his chest, you're going to get called for spearing. You can't lead with the helmet anymore. It's got to be the shoulder first. And my interpretation is that that's what he tried to do, but because Gronk spun out of it, he left him naked. He left him wide open. And so there was nothing there, and it looks very easily like it could have been a lead with the helmet.
And the other catch there, John, again, you know, going back to the physics, if I'm leading with my shoulder against Gronk, who everybody knows is a freak of nature, mm-hmm. I'm at a pretty risk of, if I'm lucky, dislocating my shoulder or breaking my collarbone.
Well, that's the other thing, because if you do hit him flush with your shoulder, you're going to crush your shoulder. There's no doubt in my mind. So really, you've given defensive backs like T.J. Ward no choice but to cut him low, and that's usually it from the knee below.
And, you know, with the NFL concentrating on the whole safety issue and all the changes to the helmets, I don't know what you can do in regards to protecting the knees. It's just the nature of the beast with your legs and how things twist and turn. And the Patriots this year have definitely been the ACL ward of bringing in guys that have had that injury and, you know, somehow they've been able to recover, especially in Gronk's case.
Yeah, it's true.
Come back and perform. So.
Yeah, that's true.
It's tough. My attitude, though, is I really wish they'd allow more contact so these guys could get a little bit more, quote-unquote, hardened
right.
for the season.
Yeah, you know, I fear where football is going overall. You know, I think the NFL, in its earnest, in its honesty to try to kind of clean things up and make things safer, in some instances, has not done that. And knee injuries are going to take guys, you know, out of their careers, just like, you know, head injuries are taking guys out of their careers. And that's when I think, you know, before too long, may not happen in our lifetime, Steve, but before too long, people are going to, you know, those that are running teams and athletes and owners and NFL people are just going to throw their hands up and say, there's no way to legislate this game the way it needs to be legislated.
That'd be interesting. A guy like Russell Baxter, I'd love to see him trend, you know, since the change, how long it's taken for teams to get to a level of consistency that doesn't look like they were playing preseason games. For us, it took 3-4 games.
It took us longer than four. That's why it's always when you start the season and the opening month of the season and people overreacted to the start. And let's remember this, Steve, next year. And I hope someone will listen to this playbook, you know, this summer or whenever, because frankly, you just don't really get a good feel for a team until you hit the midway point of the year. Until you get halfway through the season, you just can't get a clean look. Even right now, I would argue that 9 weeks into the season, we still might see the Patriots on an upturn. And I know Patriots fans everywhere are hoping for that. So, you know, there's really you can get a pretty good gist of it, though, I think, overall, at the midway point of the year. And I think you can get a fair assessment and fair to react to how a team's going to be by the time, at the very least, by the time a team takes a break and has a bye week. But certainly by midway point, you got an idea of what a team's going to be like.
That's absolutely true. And the whole goal of parity in the NFL is obviously true when you start looking at all the 5-something teams
yep.
that are out there right now.
No question. No question.
All right, John. As always, thanks.
Good
thanks
stuff, everybody. Steve. Thank you. All right. So Steve says 7-0. That's what he's got as a finish here. Finish up on Facebook. Our friend John in South Carolina sends a lot of shots here, video stills, I think, of T.J. Ward's hit. He says, if you're saying people have to hit a player in the knee or lower because of the rule that you cannot make helmet-to-helmet contact, you have to throw in the BS flag. Gronk is 6'7", and ahead is 12 inches. Ward had to then skip over the next 4 feet to hit him in the knee. I understand he's big, and they have to hit him low, but they could still try for the hip area. Please, John, you're going nuts here. The player should be hitting with the shoulder. The arms are used to wrap around after the shoulder makes contact. An arm tackle is a bad tackle. It means if you are out of position, a good tackle you make with your shoulder, head up, seeing where you're hitting. You know, John, I'm not going to go into all of the stuff that you go through here because I don't have, you know, forever. But I understand what you're saying here. Ideally, absolutely, that's what you want to do. Hip, midsection, area, lead with the shoulder, absolutely. But a lot of times the hip area isn't going to be available because what if you're faced in an open field area, you know, and the guy's coming head on at you and he's crouched, he's down. You're telling me you're going to have the presence of mind to go to the side and hit him from the hip? No, you can't. Plus, if you move to the side, where do you think the receiver's going to go? He's going to take one half little step move and head toward the sideline, and you're not going to have an angle. It'll be a poor angle, so you can't always go over the hip. If you hit him flush with your shoulder, the physiology of it, John, is going to crush your shoulder. There really is not. There just is not a correct way to do this. And the NFL has legislated. Ideally, you are correct. But what I'm saying is your ideal scenario doesn't exist often. That's the only point I'm making. That's the only argument that I have with you, John. Chad from the ATL says, John, I believe the Patriots will go all the way. 7-0, he says. They'll win out the rest of the season and win in Arizona. My prediction for the Colts game, well, we'll leave that. You can come back at me next week on that, Chad, because that'll be next week. I actually sent you the link on Twitter. Oh, from the Denver talk show one, I think? And if I were Gronk, I'd feel pretty flattered about hearing what those guys had to say. I do think Ward did it with intent, as I don't believe in coincidences, but kind of makes you feel good as a Pats fan knowing how other people feel about our tight end. He's the greatest at that position. It's also a good point, Chad, and thank you for sending the link. Kyle says, John, I'm predicting the Patriots go 5-2 over the second half with losses at the Colts and Packers. Chargers and Lions are more inconsistent. So the Patriots should take advantage of them, and they should take care of business against the division in the final stretch. I just hope that it'll be good enough for a bye at the very least. Anthony in Seattle. I want you to thank you for what you guys do. I really enjoy all the content you guys put out. I live in Seattle, so all my friends are Seahawks fans. I have nobody to talk to about the Patriots. Anyway, I want to know who you guys are thinking will be that new go-to running back. Establishing a run game is going to be crucial against the next few teams we play. I like Jonas Gray because he seems like a physical guy and a hard runner. I agree with you on Jonas Gray. He's going to get the opportunity. I think the Patriots will continue to call his number. You'll still see Shane Vereen in largely in third down scenarios. You might see an occasional Brandon Bolden, but I kind of doubt it. I think it's Jonas Gray's job. Harry in Vegas. John, been listening to the playbook for several years, but I just started following you on Twitter today. Thank you, Harry. I tweeted my prediction of the Pats going 5-3 from here on out with two losses to the Lions and Packers. But didn't hear you acknowledge receiving it, so I'm sending it again just to be sure. All right, well, I'm assuming you mean 5-2. So I'm going to give you, Harry, credit for 5-2. Let me go back and see if I have had any more on Twitter. Did I miss you on Twitter, Harry? Wow. Okay. Maybe I did. I apologize. So I'm glad you followed up with the email. That's a good job by you. Absolute good job by you. Good job. And thank you for the follow, Harry, at JR Broadcaster. Kareem. John, it's Kareem from Connecticut, currently living in San Diego since 2006. Sometimes New England fans remind me a little like Charger fans when they're crushing teams. You see flags everywhere you turn. Anyway, he says, I predict a 5-2 finish. Losses, Green Bay and San Diego. Rob in Ormond Beach says 6-1 with a loss to Miami because of resting players. Very good. All right. Gang, we're out of time. Thank you very much for the input and the predictions. We'll take your predictions as best we can here from the email account and save them in a folder. And we'll just name the folder, you know, Prediction Thursday or something, and we'll throw them in there. So that way we hopefully have something to get to. And if you sent them on Facebook or Twitter, then we'll have them to keep a record of. And again, at the end of the year, If you are correct with the final seven-game finish and you correctly predict where the loss or losses were, or if you say 7-0 and there's no losses, we throw everybody in a hat and we'll draw one and we'll give away a yearbook yearbook slash media guide, because they are one in the same. Fantasy football champs are coming up next here on Patriots.com radio. Enjoy the games. Even if the Patriots aren't playing, maybe that takes a little of the pressure off on you for Sunday. I know it will for me. But I'm going to be interested, I think, in the Dolphins and probably the Bills, just because they're breathing down the Patriots' necks in the AFC East. So that's what I'll be looking at. What will you be looking at? Nitpick Tuesday rolls around next Tuesday, even though there won't be a game to nitpick. We'll figure out something to nitpick, because you know what? We always do. As I said, Fantasy Champs coming up next. Have a great weekend. Same Pat's time, same Pat's place. Next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Patriots.com radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.